Welcome back to Patreon series episode 94, also Ladies of Gumption series episode 213, Crisis on Infinite Earths part 1. We are the Ladies of Gumption. We recap DC TV in a flash. That was a while ago, but it was back in a flash now because we're talking about the Flash. My name is Jessica and I'm here with
Tatiana
and May.
And you can find us, send us feedback, which our email box is like a little dry. So like we need to fix that. LadiesWGumption at gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at DCTVGumption, Tumblr. I think we need to like be more active probably, but if you want to send us ass, that'll give us a reason to be active.
Yes. There's an incentive to live.
Yes, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. So in the news, we do have some like DC-ish news. And when you say DC, now it's like James Gunn and what is he doing? Or what is he not doing? What is he approving? What is he not approving? And one of the things that I saw, I think Andy retweeted this like from Screen Rant, but it was about a while ago, there was talk of J.J. Abrams and E.C. Coates doing an Elseworlds version of Superman, with like a black Superman.
Right.
And apparently that's still a go. It's not a no. So that is still
on the table.
Yeah. Which will be interesting because like, as of what we know right now, James Gunn's world is super white.
Yeah.
So I hope that it still is an active project, and we can see where it goes. But it'll be the only color that we find is in Elseworlds. It'll be funny. Speaking of white people and James Gunn,
his favorite kind of people. Yes.
Apparently, they're doing casting calls for Kara Zor-El, which is not going to be
Sasha Kaye.
Yeah, it's not going to be Sasha Kaye, unfortunately. Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
But the new roster of people testing, one includes Millie Alcock, who is a Targaryen in the House of Targaryens or Book of Targaryens,
she's
whatever.
The young Rhaenyra.
Yes. Yeah. Who are the other people?
Who are the other people?
They were.
That's a great question.
You mean like the other characters?
No, yeah. the other.
Oh, the other in the running. One of them, I think, is Emilia Jones.
Oh,
she
really?
Was that person. Yeah, she's in the running. And another one is, yeah, I can't remember who the other ones are. But yeah,
so they're all white.
It's all white. Yeah. It's all white. Yeah.
That's okay. That's disappointing.
I think it's really, yeah, it's disappointing, but also just like strange because the most, like the best part of The Flash, hands down, was Sasha Kaye's performance as Supergirl. Like, yeah. No one had anything bad to say about her. So, like, why wouldn't you rescue that? Especially when they were so adamant that Ezra Miller would stay in the game when they thought people would like The Flash.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, is this Supergirl going to be... It's not Elseworld Supergirl, right? The one connected to, like, the other...
This is where James is Superman movie.
Okay.
So, this is... So, the people in contention reading for or testing for Kara Zor-El are Millie Alcock, Emilia Jones, what Tati said, and Meg Donnelly.
That's right, Meg Donnelly.
What is she doing? The Winchesters and High School Musical.
And Zombies.
Yes, Disney's Zombie series. And apparently she already voiced Supergirl in two different animated projects in the last year or so.
Okay, so she has a little bit of an advantage.
And they're all 21 to 23, so.
Yeah.
How old is Sasha Kaye?
She was younger. I think she was in her mid-20s, maybe?
She is currently 28.
Oh, okay. Well, she looks a little bit younger than that, but yeah.
But she was once, you are right, younger.
As we all were. the old days.
Yeah.
Moving outside of DC news a little bit, but still exciting. One is I just saw the trailer for Monkey Man, which is directed by and starring Dev Patel and produced yes. by Monkey Paw Productions. And it looks so good. Really, really amazing kind of movie. Have either of you seen that trailer or have thoughts on it?
I have not seen it yet, but I'm just excited because of Dev Patel. I feel like he's always overlooked because what was the last thing he did that I really loved? The Green Knight.
Actually. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that movie just got ignored. So I hope that this does well, and that if you say it's the trailer is good, then I'm really excited for it. So
yeah, I saw the trailer, I'm very excited. And also I do love that Jordan Peele like rescued it to from Netflix or whatever.
Everyone should, Netflix? Should rescue everything from Netflix.
Yes. I guess Netflix was gonna do it when Netflix was gonna like not give it a theatrical release, basically. And Jordan Peele was like, absolutely not.
they're not gonna do what?
Netflix was not going to give it a theatrical release. And Jordan Peele was like, absolutely not. We will be giving it a theatrical release. Thank you.
So you can do it from Knives Out, but you can't do it for me.
Exactly, right?
I mean, they only ever give anything a theatrical release because they're trying to run it for, like, awards. And that lasts about, a week is how long they need to actually have it in theaters. So they don't care about that experience. So
I feel like they cloned Tyrone. Maybe that's why it didn't get any, like, recognition either. Mm-hmm. Because Netflix did it dirty.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think like it's the thing with Netflix that it's annoying is that it's not that they don't have good stuff. It's just that they have so much stuff that we don't see it. People,
they don't promote it
under the rug because they have like 50 things coming out every weekend and it's a lot and people can only watch so much in their spare time, you know? So, and yeah, they lack promotion in general. It's just really terrible.
And they just their backing choices are just bad. Like, I'm just rambling to the Oscars now, but like, why is Maestro, I cannot say, even though I watched the movie and it was very boring, get all the like
Thank
awards.
Thank you. I felt like insane when like Maestro's so good. I was like, were we watching the same film? I sat on that damn chair for a very long time and I was not impressed.
Exactly. And then May December, which is what everyone was talking about. That's the one that everyone was like, I enjoyed it. I liked it. Let's discuss. It's like, never mind. We don't want to give you awards.
They also didn't give Fair Play. That was a really great film, I thought, and especially for like the first feature, and those performances were just wild. And
yeah,
I think they got any recognition. Just
So Netflix sucks. The end. Well, we already knew this. Every week we can say the same thing.
Well, you know, like the Oscar nominations. We are in award season, so who else do we think was like? I think the big one that was really splashy all over Twitter and stuff was Barbie. And that Ryan Gosling's like confused face when he was nominated for like original song or for Knuff. And then I think that's a different award show, but then like with the Oscars
that was
coming out.
Choice, but everyone's using it.
Yeah, but it's still like there's a theme. First he got nominated at all, which I agree with him, like what? But then also, and I don't think like Halle Bailey's song from The Little Mermaid, Lin-Manuel Miranda's original song, I don't think that got nominated, which is ridiculous. But then in the Oscars, Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig did not get nominated at all for Barbie. America Ferrera did, which is great. But people were like caught up with the fact that Margot and Greta didn't get nominated, but Ryan is going to get nominated for being like best supporting actor for Ken, and it's kind of funny because that was like the whole movie, the plot of the movie about like the patriarchy and stuff playing out in.
Well, you know that what that guy said was, what was that line? Like, no, the patriarchy's working just fine. But I mean, I think there are also like more I don't know. It's like endless frustration with the Oscars every year. But I think my primary issue is that it's still obviously very white. And number two, it's like the categories aren't big enough for all the stuff that kind of comes out. They're still very limited to like nominating four or five in every category except for Best Picture.
Right.
And I find it interesting that, you know, like Barbie can even be nominated for Best Picture, but then Greta doesn't get a Best Director nod. Because I feel like if you're going to be nominated for Best Picture, why not also give her Best Director?
That never makes any sense to me. They should expand it, for sure. They should expand the, at very least, the director category. Because if your movie is good enough to be a Best Picture nominee, it didn't direct itself. Like, it's not just by coincidence that it's it is the director that made that happen. So it's ridiculous to not have it. 10 slots for director. I agree with that.
And I think, Greta Lee not getting nominated either for like Best Actress was upsetting. A snub to me because she did such great emotional work in past lives, and I think that was ridiculous. Even Phoebe, how do you say her last name? Dynevor.
Yes,
I don't know. Fair Play. She was excellent.
She was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anjanou Ellis for Origin. I'm so sorry. Yes. Like, this pisses me off.
Anjanou Ellis. But also, you know what else? Fantasia for Color Purple. Color Purple was shut out as well. Like, other than Danielle Brooks got a nomination. Yay, we love that. But, like, I was like, I think I've seen all the performances now for Best Actress. And Carrie Mulligan does not need to be there. First of all, she's not the leading actress of that movie. Like you were a supporting actress. I'm sorry. Also, Annette Bening did not need to be there. You definitely could have replaced
her. I was really surprised by that one, to be honest. Like, that movie didn't do anything for me personally. So I was just like, okay. So, like,
there are countless people. Like, I'm not going to say which two are the snubs that should be there instead, but there are countless people that I think deserve it more than Carrie or Annette. So, you know, whatever. I will say Anatomy of a Fall was really good. I did watch it, like, at the airport.
I watched it at the airport. Yeah,
Anatomy of a Fall was really good.
It was so good.
So, that one's deserved. But, like, there's a lot of things in there. You're just like, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a constant issue. And I feel like, at the end of the day, these are all, like, major campaigns, right? Like, they're pushed by money, pushed by probably people that have been schmingling for all of fall season and whatnot. And also like what the studios are pushing. So there's always less like, you know, Hollywood politics that come into play as well.
Yeah. Anywho, let's get over our frustrations and get under DCAU and this Crisis of Infinite Earths Part 1.
Oh, it's the Tomorrowverse now.
It is the Tomorrowverse for now, which I thought there's more films in the Tomorrowverse, and I thought it was starting with the War of the Worlds, like the Justice Society one, so I just kind of like hit it midstream, but it is part of a larger DCAU verse called the Tomorrowverse. Nate's gonna help us out and give us some background on the verse, where we are in the series for the Tomorrowverse, and then get into what happened in this movie, what we liked, what we didn't like, some of the character dynamics, and Lady with Gumption of the movie, which I think is pretty obvious, but we're going to talk it through anyway. Take it over to you.
Yes. So some background on the DCAU, now known as the Tomorrowverse, which began in 2020. And it was, I think, even before the time that they knew the live-action Crisis on Infinite Earths was happening over in the Arrowverse as well.
Right.
And it was like a way to reset the DC animated universe after Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, with a story that began with Superman, Man of Tomorrow, hence Tomorrowverse. And that was followed by Justice Society World War II, Batman The Long Halloween Parts 1 and 2, Green Lantern, Beware of My Power, A Legion of Superheroes, Justice League War World, and Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Parts 1, 2, and 3 that are going to close out this shared universe. And what's interesting here is that they decided to, because it's a shared universe, to all kind of have the same animation style for each film so that you know that they sort of exist in the same continuity, which is why when I first saw Black Iris in this one, I was like, she looks really familiar. Wasn't Gina in the film?
That's why I thought it was like
because I haven't seen all the films either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I was like, okay, it's clicking. And the finale wasn't.
Have you seen any of the other movies in the Tomorrowverse?
I believe I saw parts of Justice Society World War II and then parts of The Long Halloween, but I don't think I finished that one.
Okay, Justice Society World War II, and then because that's how I connected. I thought that it was like just because I remember watching that movie, and at the end of it, I was like, I hope they continue with this because I really like Black Iris and her coming up. So I thought it was like this was like directly after that one, which obviously I missed a whole lot in the middle. I'm just wondering, like, now I feel like I have to go back and see all the other ones to see how like the story unfolds in other parts of the universe. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, same. And initially, they weren't going to, I think they were going to conclude it differently, but then like some studio execs were like, no, we have to wrap it up with the Crisis storyline. And so that's how that happened. And there's not like one part, but three parts, and they're all coming out as, you know, part one's already out, and parts two and three are going to be out later this year. So to recap, Part one of Crisis on Infinite Earths, an elderly John Constantine sends Barry Allen on a time trip to key moments in his life, from gaining his metahuman abilities to a fight against power-absorbing android Amazo created by Professor Dr. Anthony Ivo, to his wedding with Iris West. By the way, this recap is courtesy of Wiki. Thank you so much again for your diligence and your time.
People donate to Wikipedia. Yeah,
I do every year to keep it free. During the fight with Amazo, Clark Kent by Superman gets injured and is aided by Barry and Green Arrow and Batman. In response, Bruce suggests to form a team with Barry, Clark, Oliver, and Mari McCabe, Flash Vixen, and John Jones, aka Martian Manhunter. However, they fail to recruit Hal Jordan / Green Lantern. During a press conference unveiled the Justice League, Amazo attacked the Justice League, whose original primary function to improve human life has been altered by Lex Luthor to kill anyone that is not human. With the League unable to defeat Amazo due to inability to absorb and copy their abilities, Batman opines that an airstrike is the only way to destroy Amazo, but the others reject the idea. The Flash goes to Ivo, who reveals he has contracted a disease that ages him rapidly and has been researching quantum energy absorption with Luthor to create Amazo using extraterrestrial technology in the hopes to siphon metahuman abilities to use them to find a way to extend human life. Whew, a lot of research going on there. Ivo sacrifices himself by having Amazo give up all the absorbed metahuman energy to Ivo. Batman deduces Lex Luthor gave Ivo his disease to prompt his experiments, which causes Amazo to turn against Lex. With Lex Luthor arrested, Amazo returns the stolen superpowers to Superman, Vixen, and Manhunter before shutting down. While all of this is going on, Barry is sent by Constantine to a parallel Earth, Earth 3. After a brief confrontation with his Earth 3 doppelganger, Johnny Quick, he is captured by the Crime Syndicate, which basically runs the entire world. And he's taken to their Hall of Crime, where he is interrogated by Superwoman's lasso, confirming that their deceased Lex theory of the multiverse. Suddenly, an antimatter wave threatens Earth 3 before its destruction. Constantine explains to Barry that he witnesses the parallel Earths being destroyed as his punishment, and that Barry shares the same guilt. At Barry and Iris' wedding, Harbinger recruits Barry, Oliver, Mari, and John Stewart to a space station, where other heroes based on their skills, strength, and speed from the multiverse have been gathered as ordered by the Monitor, an ancient multiversal being. The Monitor explains that the antimatter wave, which is capable of destroying the entire universe, threatens the multiverse. Barry's time tripping inspires the Monitor to create massive vibrational towers on the remaining Earths that will allow them to phase through the wave and survive. However, the wave rapidly spreads before the towers are completed. Barry then uses his superpowers to slow time for him and Iris, and they grow old together while completing Earth 1's tower with the help of Amazo. Upon completing the tower, the elderly Iris dies. Very sad times. The Elder Barry reverts to normal speed and activates the tower network by using a cosmic treadmill. The vibrational energy destroys his tower and Amazo, but causes the antimatter wave to pass through the various Earths and dissipate, apparently saving the day. Barry is approached by the Spectre, who tells him that Barry bears the responsibility for the crisis, but that it is up to the Speed Force to determine his fate. Barry is then sent back to the moment he gained his powers and has an epiphany. He then appears as a vision to Batman when he was trapped in the Warlord segment of Justice League War World, telling him to go back to before the beginning. Barry then vanishes, seemingly dead. Back on the space station, the heroes celebrate their victory. However, Harbinger, who is revealed to be Supergirl, realizes that they might have changed history when she sees her friends from the Legion of Superheroes begin to disappear, starting with her boyfriend, Brainy, who they're actually together in this universe. So, summary aside, what did you think of the film as a whole? Your joys, what did you would think that could have been done better? Which characters were your favorites?
I don't think, like the biggest problem, quote-unquote, with the movie is just that it's, like, part one of three, and you can't really do anything about that. I feel like they did a good job setting up the problem and, like, getting us to, like, these are the stakes. This is, and also showing it kind of, like, through like what Barry is internally going through. So it was really cool to have him as the viewpoint character and his milestone moments with Iris as, I don't know, like our way into the world as well as what's, you know, what he's being pulled out of. So it was really nice.
Anchor points.
Yes, exactly. So that was really nice to see. Definitely made me feel more for him and, you know, like when he is like, just like in his own little pocket world with Iris and Amazo, like that part I really liked. And so you know, you get the sense of loss when Iris dies and when he's finally completed the tower thing. And yet also, you know, like whatever, the renewed hope of being able to do everything over again. So yeah, I liked all that. I did not watch 80% of the other Tomorrow Wars movies. So when they're like, this is kind of your fault, Barry, I was like,
is it?
What did Barry do? What happened?
Always Barry's fault.
Why I know. I guess like the Flashpoint has like occurred to a degree in the previous movie, like in the Constantine House of Mystery movie or something. So I was like, I'm lost, but I'm with you guys. Like I didn't realize that I was Constantine first, like the hooded guy or whatever.
Same.
Okay. I understand now. Thank you. Game rant ending explainer whatever it was that I read after but yeah, I thought that it was like cool to see how they brought in the other world heroes and like little moments like Bruce meeting his adopted son at the same time that he was like trying not to adopt Dick, why I was like, well, what is his name? Dick Grayson. And also, like,
how dare actual, you?
I know. I was like, don't say Tim Drake. It's not Tim Drake. It's the other one. Dick Grayson. And also, like, meeting Helena. Like that stuff looked really cool. Less cool is having to see the world where Superman and Wonder Woman are together. But at least, as Jessica pointed out, they were like, yeah, I mean, yeah, what are you going to do after your loved one dies? You know, just give someone else. It's fine. So that's okay, I guess. You don't want to be lonely in your old age. So what else? I don't know. Like animation, good. I feel like anytime that I watch one of these animated movies, Jeremy Adams and Ernie Altbacker and Jim Krieg are like part of it or whatever. So, like, I just, like, seeing the same names in the credits, I was like, ah, yes. I don't know why this is a different universe, because I feel like it's all the same. But they, you know, they did a good job of differentiating it with the story. And I feel like it's, it feels like an epic conclusion. So, good job on that also, I guess. I love that they made West Island the focal point. And it does feel very much like it's an homage to the TV show. And further proof that the Flash, you know, CW Flash changed the DC universe forever, even if, you know, it went out with a whimper, not a bang. So thank you for that, Flash.
I guess this is also because, like, I did not see or realize there were other, like, 80% of the Tomorrowverse aside from the one film that I already saw. But like getting into it, I was confused a little bit because Barry has like time ADHD. And so it was taking me a minute to like catch up to his like time trimming. and following the story. But, you know, once I got the hang of it, and I was like, oh, okay, now I see where we're going. Now I see what we're doing. But I agree. I like that this first part of Crisis was centered around Barry. And because it's centered around Barry, we got a lot of him and Iris and, like, the different parts of their love story all combined into, like, one film, which was pretty cool. Because, like, in the Justice Society movie, they'd already been established, and that was, like, them, you know, getting engaged. So in this movie, we kind of combined to see how they started dating, the wedding, which honestly, like, Supergirl, now, like Harbinger was rude, first of all. It's a wedding. You can wait. But even knowing that it's, like, Kara afterwards, I'm like, Kara, now, like, I, you know, you were super rude. Like, come on. So, and then getting to see them, like, even, like, growing old together, and Iris being kind of an active hero in the movie, and helping Barry build the machine for Amazo, and even her being like, when Barry was gonna stop what he was doing to help her, and she's like, you're in the age of equality, I can do his job, you go do your part, let me do mine. So I like their relationship. I like that we got, like, a lot of things that I think we had always wanted to have in, like, the live action version, in the animated version, you know, with, like, the Calchas, and with when they did thought the world was going to end, and Iris was, like, a live reporter on the scene, and Barry's, like, swoops in to save her. So those were all, like, that. Yeah, like, really, really nice moments. I also just thought this movie was really funny. I think that one of my favorite things about the DC animated universe is they always seem to have better writers, and you get a lot more humor out of the, like, one-liners that are just, like, really funny. Like, I remember, like, when Barry and Clark were fighting Amazo, and I can't remember, no, I think it was, I think Clark had his power sucked out by Amazo, and so, like, Barry was trying to, like, carry him away, and something happened. He's like, I'm not weak, you're just heavy. Like, I thought it was funny. And he's like, I think another one when he's talking to Superman, he's like, I'm glad it's not your birthday, buddy, because you couldn't blow out a candle. Like, Batman and Superman's friendship in this movie, Superbat was top tier. Bruce and Ollie, like, bickering back and forth was funny.
Yes.
Yeah. I love
when Ollie was like, oh, how did you figure it out so fast? And he's like, oh, I would have figured it out eventually.
Yeah. It was interesting that, like, the dynamic in this world of Bruce and Dick, and the fact that he came to Barry with advice on how to get Dick into, like, a orphanage in Central City because it was better, and Barry being kind of, like, the start of the Robin, like, starting off, like, the idea of Dick being a Robin. So it's interesting, like, the seed being planted in that world, and then when we get to where all the multiverse heroes are in the space station, and he meets Dick and Helena there, in a world where he did keep Dick, I see things happening in his brain where he's thinking about, you know what, maybe family is not, is something that can happen for me. So that was nice. I think that was, like, my second favorite, like, underlying story for the superheroes. So I'm wondering if part two will be more that family focused.
Oh yeah,
because I feel like there was some, you know, setup to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What else? I like there's a lot of humor. I liked it was interesting seeing, because in the I'm only connecting the two movies that I know. So in the Justice Society movie at the end, when Barry comes back and he proposes to Iris and all that kind of stuff, he had also thought about his time being in that universe made him want to consider forming a similar type of League in his universe. And so I like that we got to see that follow through with him forming the Justice League with Clark, Bruce, Ollie, Mari, and John, which it's a kind of a sausage fest. Like, can we not find another woman to join the inaugural member? Yeah. Of Justice
League? Poor Vixen.
I like that we got to see some of the other worlds, even though it was only the one where they were all like villains. It was interesting to get like a different. They're so dumb. Like, they're so evil, but they're so dumb. It's like, I'm just gonna hit it. This is the wall of antimatter destroying everything. I'm just gonna punch it really hard. And that's like their whole plan. They were fun. But yeah, it was an enjoyable movie. I had a lot of fun with it. I loved the humor. I liked the characters. Even I feel like when Iris died at the end, it was sad, but it wasn't like you took her from me. It was kind of like you got to see them have like a whole full life, even in the midst of the world ending. It was always like Barry and Iris. So I feel like that was like really sweet. Yeah.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was much sadder than I thought it would be. I was getting to the end, I'm like, God, I feel so attacked.
Or it could also be like I'm thinking like part two, because it could either be Bat family focus or also like Kara pulled it out at the end, where it could be like Legion family focus with Kara and Brainy. So we'll see where they go. But go ahead, Nate.
Well, I agree about the kind of struggling to get kind of a grasp on like what they were trying to go for at the beginning, because I also haven't seen 80% of the film, so that would have been more helpful. But like you said, just like once it kind of got going, you kind of found the groove of things and figured things out, and as well as like the characters and what was going on and all that. And I think what was nice here is that, and I think this is the case for like most of DC's animated slate, is that the writers know the characters better than the live action theatrical universe. So it's always nice to see them. It's kind of like coming back to old friends in a way. And it's especially nice here since it's like a connected universe. So all these characters have sort of had their own little adventures, and now they're kind of combining forces in this one. But I especially like the fact that it was focused on Barry and his story, and then Iris and his relationship, which was really surprising at first, but I was like, nice. So it was a nice surprise, because I feel like that really provided the emotional anchor for the entire film, and it made you feel the urgency of the fact that the multiverse was dying and that people had to be saved, and you know, the teams coming together and all that. And if we didn't have that, it would just kind of been like, okay, well, you know, worlds are ending, but it's not it wouldn't have felt as important for everyone to kind of gather and stuff like that. So I really love the fact that we got like different even aspects of Barry and Iris. God, I can't talk today. Barry and Iris's relationship, like their meet cute, their wedding, and then even coming back to the part where like Harbinger interrupts their wedding, but then they're like, you know what, how about we make a deal? And so everyone kind of got to enjoy their wedding as well. And then them working together and seeing Iris as a reporter in action was all really nice and felt true to the characters and just the strength of their connection together. And I really love the fact that we got to see the different worlds, but especially the fact that we focused more on like the, you know, the crime syndicate parts, just because I feel like the movie wanted to have a little bit more fun with these, like you said, dumb characters who are just doing bad things. But I feel like the movie as a whole was put together really well. Like you really felt for these characters. You knew the stakes, they were very high. And so by the end of it, when it felt like they were finally doing something and maybe saving the worlds, that was not really the case. And there was like more to come. So immediately after I finished the movie, I wanted part two, and I was very displeased that not come wait. Out yet. So yeah. Because I feel like they really captured the essence of the characters, introduced a lot of fun and interesting mm-hmm. dynamics, and just kind of kept it grounded and had a lot of heart to it by focusing on West Allen for sure. But if we're going to compare the DC TV version of the Crisis on Infinite Earths to this version, I think that would be good, because I think these are the only two versions of Crisis that have actually occurred outside of the comics. So how do you think this one fared versus what the Arrowverse did?
I literally am trying to remember what the Crisis on Infinite Earths was in the Arrowverse. I feel like it was very dumb. I feel like this one did a better job of streamlining it. Obviously, you still understand what is going on. Without one through line of Barry, rather than having trying to throw in a little bit for everyone. And I feel like it's just also easier with animation, even though they didn't even actually have to show all that much, but I feel like you can believe the threat more in the animated version than in the Arrowverse version. Because I feel like we're already in the $5 in a dream days when Crisis on Infinite Earths came around. If you were comparing it, for example, even though it's a different Crisis, Crisis on Earth X as a story kind of fell apart, but the first episode of that crossover was much stronger than the Crisis on Infinite Earths one.
Yeah, I feel I'm trying, as we speak, because you have the different, they had the different seven paragons to stop the anti-monitor, which maybe we get that in two and three of the animated version. But I do agree with you that one, I don't remember a lot about the DC TV version that kind of stood out to me. When did Barry and Iris get married? Because that wasn't a crisis.
It was during Crisis on Crisis
Earth X. That was Earth X.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was part of it. That was the only that's.
But that was probably, a different. That was a different.
No, that was a different crisis. It was 2 years before.
It's so hard. Yeah. So the first five episodes of season 8 were Crisis on Infinite Earths. No, that was Armageddon.
No,
the first.
No.
Yeah.
Season 6 was Crisis on Infinite Earths.
The
lead up to it.
Yeah. I feel like the monitor being was a good performance. I can't remember his name, but the dude that did the monitor, that was good. And then
Garrett, LaMonica Garrett or something like that, right?
LaMonica Garrett. And Lila being Harbinger was an interesting incorporation of her character. And that's all I can tell you about the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I remember that Kara, Kate, Barry was a paragon of love. I think that we got Brian
it was
Choi.
First Black Lightning crossover, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they John Wesley Shipp's Flash sacrificed himself, but he was '90s Flash, right?
Oh, right, and that's also the one where Oliver becomes the Spectre or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like that's the other biggest
and dies.
Yeah.
Let's make it about you.
For one last time.
Ryan Choi was a paragon of humanity. I guess it's kind of not a full or a fair comparison, I guess, right now until we see what happens in the second and third parts. Okay. But I do agree that, I guess there's only so much you can do with CGI and stuff in live action for TV as opposed to a film. But I feel like you get more, there's a more consistent storyline because it's all it's not one part, it's three parts. So we don't know.
But part one was following consistently, like, Barry, through Barry's eyes.
The world felt bigger and the stakes felt higher. And I think we got, even in the little parts, I feel like there was just more character development and kind of like feelings. And I think it was like a better written story. And you got more characters too, which again, it's advantage of everything being animated. So you can put in as much stuff that you can draw. I like that we got like a lot of we got like Dr. Light in like the Hall of Heroes or the on the space station. I like that there was a little bit of mystery between like who is the monitor really, and is he really here to help, or was he the one behind setting up the wave matter? I don't know. I feel like the DCU AU at this point is doing it better. But I mean, DCTV has to work with the characters that they have and the budget that they have. So that's also like a big shoe to fill.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that live action crisis, they did the best that they could with what they had, but I still feel like there could have always been more focus on certain characters or employing them better in the story, or at least like using the individual episodes for the actual show to focus on said characters. Like if we had had a Flash episode where it was focus was on like Barry and Iris as an example, and then like a Supergirl episode would be focused on like Supergirl things. Yes. That would have been, it would have felt like more urgent and like higher stakes. But I feel like with the animated movie, even without the inclusion of like all the other characters, like if it had just focused on the Justice League and like Barry's story, it would still felt grander in a way. Whereas I don't think that the live action ever really fully achieved the full scope. Besides like the fun Easter eggs were from different universes, like Smallville and old Batman and whatnot.
I do like that the DCAU did pull a lot of reference from the DC TV version, mainly the Flash, and having like Iris be black, and then also I feel like their meet cute was a nod to the TV version. Their wedding was a nod to the TV version. They actually got to like finish their wedding and have their first dance and all that kind of stuff.
Interrupted.
So there's things that they paid homage to from the TV version that kind of like not did better, but like gave more like focus to. So you know, the meet cute at the diner being when they start dating, and the extra attention on having like the wedding, even having the wedding be part of the story, and having like Iris have to negotiate to have her to have her wedding. I thought all of that was like things that they took from the show and just kind of like embellished or made a lot greater for the DCAU version, which I really appreciated.
100%. So character dynamics, obviously we have at the center of this whole movie is Barry and Iris. So we're going to start with them. They're connection, they're like showing the timeline of their love story and how they grow old together. Talk to me about what you thought of their relationship and how it was conveyed, and like did you have any favorite moments from the movie with them in it?
Favorite moments, oh my goodness, well I did like old ass Iris and Barry, where he still had the suit, and she's like, "Oh, I know why you wear the suit. You can't fit in it." but no, I really liked. I also liked. You know, when she said that, like, you know, even though he's like always been late. He's been late to literally everything in their lives. But she was always right on time when she needed him. Love that too. That was a great line.
Yes, that was super sweet.
But yeah, no, overall I thought it was really, you know, like really, like you really see her being a grounding force for him. And you know, like how the show would always have like every other episode they'd be like, oh, she's his lightning rod, she's his anchor, she's his whatever. But like oftentimes we didn't really get to see her importance, you know? The show was its best when we got to see what she meant to him. And I thought this was a nice form of showing and not telling. Like all those mm-hmm. all those moments that he goes back to are moments with her and the building blocks of their life together. And that's really what keeps him, like, what is his humanity as a hero? What is his strength as a hero? And you don't have to have, like, a group of people telling him that. It's just, like, clear to us. And I thought that it was really nice that, like, you see both kind of, like, the things that he has to, like, quote-unquote sacrifice because he is a hero, because he's in the situation. But at the same time, these moments that he's getting to either take back or to still live out, right? Like, he got to have that time with Iris and their pet Amazo saving the world together. And then also like can we please like go through the wedding though? Like let's have the wedding now. So those both moments are really cool too.
I like the wedding part where she was like, how many heroes do you need? And he's like, because we have a lot right here. So if you just like chill out for a minute, you can take all of them in one go. I also like that how, you know, Barry appeared like when we're looking at all of the relationships as they play out through the crisis, Barry is the only one with like a stable partnership, really, with his partner, and that Iris is included in the world, in his superhero world. So it's not, you know, I must protect you from me by not telling you everything and just like running off or whatever. Like she's actively involved from the beginning. The only thing I feel like we didn't learn is in their like love story is when she found out he was a Flash. I feel like that would have been nice mm-hmm. to see how that differed from the TV version.
I also want some tornado twins. I'm sorry. When am I getting tornado twins?
I like that we saw Wally at the wedding.
Yeah.
Screamed when I saw Wally. That was a great surprise. And the reference to like Wally when Barry was talking to Bruce about like adopting kids, it's cool. And Dick can play with Wally. So I mean, I like seeing how involved that she is. I like seeing also, I think, you know, because Barry is so family oriented, with Iris, you kind of see how other heroes, support them. Because, like, that wedding was star-studded, man. You had the whole Justice League there. Vixen was the officiant. I love that Lois is Iris's best friend and her maid of honor. That was great. The part where Barry was like, I need to talk to Iris, and Lois was, like, blocking the door. Like, are you sure you want to do this? So I love like, all the relationships like that. I think when they finally did get to have the wedding reception or whatever, that's like Clark met Lois there, and John Stewart met Shiera there, and everybody was just like, it was the center of like love. And so I really enjoyed the wedding scene and those moments. I also agree about the scenes where they had like grown old together. I guess I didn't realize that he was, it was kind of confusing how they were both old, but still in the present time. Because I think at first that Amazo was siphoning off, like Barry was giving Amazo his powers, and that's why he was like rapidly aging. It's like, it doesn't really make sense why Iris is rapidly aging, but him slowing down time for extended period of years to do that with her makes a lot of sense. And it also is like how powerful are you, Barry, that you can just like slow down time around just the two of them? Yeah.
And live multiple lifetimes at this point.
Yeah. So that was great. I agree, like at the end where, you know, he's anxious and nervous and she's like, I'm trying to get you like home, and she's like, I am home, like home is where you are, kind of thing. So that was great as well. So yeah, I like that Iris is in the thick of it and has other superhero girlfriends like Lois that she can hang with, and then also just superheroes in general. The whole like super family there was cool to celebrate them.
I agree. I think for the first time in a long time, it's probably going to sound so dumb. It made me want to get back on Tumblr again to see if there were any gift sets. Because it was, all of their moments were very giftable, you know? And I enjoyed them immensely. I think that their dynamic was like really strong and just headed right into the movie. You knew that as soon as like she had two more scenes, I was like, oh, okay, we're getting the whole relationship. This is perfect. Because it was, I guess it just showed like their connection and how embedded she is in his world. And like, it was nice to see all the moments that we don't typically get to see, even like the movies of these characters, like the meet cute, you get the wedding, you get little moments here and there of just what their relationship looks like and how they interact with each other. And I really just enjoyed seeing all of that and how sweet it was without feeling like it was, like too much. Like, it was just like the perfect amount to give you the sense of world ending anxiety, but also like feel the real sentiment behind everything that they were saying to each other. So it was very, very sweet. And I'm really glad that the film focused on them for this particular part of the story. Even just like showing Iris investigating and like Barry coming to save her, I think that was one of my favorite parts, because it was unexpected, but also showed you like how much he feels for this woman and how much he feels for him. Like, even at the end, you know, he was going to make sure that she was okay, but they had to be together, which was really nice.
I forgot about that. That would be like another like pull from the show too. So I love all those little things.
Yeah, nice. Many, many fails were had. And then there was another lovely relationship called Superbat, who, you know, they tend to bicker quite often in the film, but we know they're BFFs. What did we feel about their relationship throughout the film?
I was so happy. I like that when Clark thought he was going to die, he's like, let me... take me to my BFF's house. Take me to Gotham Manor. And that's how Ollie and Barry find out that Bruce is Batman. But I like that there's already that, it seems like, established bond between the two of them, that, you know, Clark can rely on Bruce when he's about to die. And I think, like, it's another friendship that you kind of see throughout the movie. That scene first in the beginning came up, I was like, oh my God, yay.
I also enjoyed it. I didn't realize, or I knew Jensen Ackles was Bruce / Batman, but I did not know that Darren Criss was Superman.
He's been Superman for a while, though.
I know, but I didn't know that. I just thought it was, I just think it's a funny combination. I feel like I can envision Darren and Jensen in a buddy comedy together. And that comes through.
That would be quite interesting.
And that comes through in their voices. But yeah, overall, I think it's like they have some great, comedic bits in what might otherwise be like kind of a, you know, straightforward whatever, you know, tension building fest. And they are, you know, throughout other movies also have helped to play off, have helped when they play off each other to make things funnier. So I don't know. It's good. I like it. Good for them. Also, we mentioned that Meg Donnelly is Supergirl several times, and this is one of those times. So I did not realize that either. It was Meg Donnelly playing Supergirl in this, and also Harbinger. So now we know that's what her voice sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I think she made a good Kara, at least behind the scenes. Yeah, in terms of Superbat, you know, I always love seeing their little friendship on screen. And it's just, there's such opposites, but they work so well together. And I think that this movie, at least like the scene that they had together, really showed that. I think there was like one point where Superman was down for the count, and Barry was saying like, oh, we should form the Justice League. And he's just like, I think this is a bad idea. And Superman's like, hear him out. You know, it was just like a really fun dynamic. And like, you can tell that even though Bruce is very stoic and whatnot, that he really cares for his friend and what happens to him as well. So that was really cute to see.
And I think like when Lex and Amazo were fighting like the Justice League, and Amazo was like targeting Clark, like, because I wrote in my notes, Bruce saves his boyfriend. So at some point, like, he saved like Clark from getting like his powers drained. So that was another super bad moment.
Indeed, and a beautiful one it was. But then, like, there's the extended team where you have Barry, Bruce, Clark, Oliver, Mari, and Jean, and that form the Justice League. And we sort of see like their inception and the different personalities occasionally clashing, but also working together. What did we think of their portrayals?
I want to know who was on the recruiting team. I feel like it was probably Bruce. Or like Bruce played a part in like finding the people. But my main commentary, like I said before, is that there are too many dudes.
Right.
Too many dudes in this club.
Yeah. I feel like Vixen was like the nicest surprise.
Yes. Yeah.
That she got to be included. She got to officiate the wedding. Because yeah, like the rest of it's kind of like, yeah, of course, of course. Even Wonder Woman was just kind of like there as a afterthought, not really main part of the action.
I guess that's where I was thinking, like, where is she in this world? Because I don't think you've seen her.
Maybe something happened to her in a different movie that we don't know about, but like, okay, she just showed up in like as the other world, right? Like,
yeah,
she showed up as like the other. Did. So I was like, what? But yeah, I agree. It was very, very dude heavy. And some of these dudes, I really did not know who they were. Like, they had like everyone's like saying like they're like one thing, like what they thought that they should do about the tower, or what they should do about, you know, about the end of the world, essentially. And I was like, who are you? Why is anyone asking your opinion? I don't know who you are.
Oh, on the space station. I love that they're all giving like Bruce shit. Like,
yeah.
Who are you? Like, why? Who made you the bot? He's like, I did. Because I knew everything about everyone of y'all. Yeah.
Apparently she only appeared, Diana, only appeared in the Justice Society World War II movie. And then in Justice League War World, she was kidnapped and transported to War World for gladiatorial combat, and I think that was the last time anybody saw her.
Is she still fighting for her life somewhere?
No one is.
Perhaps because it just says her affiliation is Earth 2, so I guess she's not even on like Earth Prime.
So then the one that we saw with Clark is the only Diana, because that was Earth 2, right? Or was it a different Earth? Maybe it's a different Earth.
Assume it was Earth 2. It could have been a different Earth, though.
No, but that would have been like Justice Society Diana. Which we did see. Yeah. And that was not the Diana that was on the space station.
Well, then I don't know. But yeah. But overall, like, I liked how they had, like, these, like, different, like, chorus of different voices and opinions giving Bruce shit. But also just, you know, trying to figure it out together. Like, you're stronger as a unit, you know, dissenting voices to create a better outcome. And then, of course, my favorite scene was the coffee scene where
Jitters.
Where Barry comes in with, like, he's like, oh, I had to do all these things to get the perfect coffee, right? And they're like, how did you even do that? Oh, with my vibrations. And then that's how they have their idea. And he's like, see, I knew the coffee was correct. I knew the coffee was right. Yes.
I really enjoyed their dynamic.
I don't know. I was just saying, I'm looking at this, like, list of actors. I'm like, wow, okay. So, like, Stana Kotic was Wonder Woman / Superwoman. Zachary Quinto, of course, is Lex Luthor. I already knew that. But then we have Harry Shum Jr. as Brainiac 5. So I was like, yes. All right, just
he's been Brainiac for a while as well.
Just a fun, just a bunch of cool guys just hanging out, doing voices.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like their dynamic in general, too. I like, I mean, this is going to sound so petty, but I like that we didn't get that much Oliver Queen.
and what we did get is how he should be, which is just community.
Exactly. Yes. 100%. Yeah. And that you sort of had like Barry be the one to sort of initiate the team and like, hey, we should actually work together and try to bring everybody together because he's just like this ball of energy.
Did y'all feel a vibe between Mari and Ollie, or like Ollie was like trying to make it happen with Vixen?
That sounds right. But this is kind of like multiple different personalities just hanging out, but also not always getting along. But it's like the, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. And they're like, Justice League, see how they work together? This is going to happen. So it's just really nice to see how they can occasionally butt heads, but also be on the same page, like in terms of, you know, if somebody said something logical, they're like, yeah, let's do that. So it was really nice to see them together and also see sort of like how their inception happened, and how like the setup towards what they're going, how they're going to be working together in the next two parts. And since Barry like sort of founded the Justice League as well, he also had a different relationship with Bruce than Superman had with Bruce. So let's talk about it.
I think the biggest thing that I got from their relationship in this movie, and the thing that I like a lot, is the concept of like family. Because like I said, like for Barry, it was a super constant, stable. He was like the most stable superhero with a normal person life of the heroes. And so like the fact that Bruce came to Barry about what to do with Dick or to bring him to Central City, I feel like that says a lot. The fact that you get like the little kind of nod that that's when Wally and Dick meet and start like their friendship. Barry advising Bruce that family is not a bad thing. And I think he was a little bit off on the like, you know, maybe he kicking some ass would be good for him. I don't know if I guess we can't blame Bruce for bringing kids into life of fighting crime, because apparently it was Barry's idea. But I like how that's that. And then eventually when Bruce meets Dick and Helena from another Earth and kind of like, I'm skipping ahead a little bit to combine his relationship with Dick and Helena. But the conversation started with Barry. And then when you get to the space station and he meets this alternate version of himself that did have kids, he gets attached to them like super quickly. So I like that that's kind of like the little origin in the Earth Prime of the beginning of like the Bat Family. So that was really nice to see Bruce like soften over the course of the movie from being by himself to, you know, being open to the possibility of inviting Dick into his life and forming like the Bat Family.
I mean, I have like the same thoughts. I thought it was really cool to see Barry maybe inspiring Bruce in a way, and then also knowing that at one point Bruce was like, actually, this sounds like a terrible idea. I should not adopt a bunch of random children. And
it's like, that sounds irresponsible.
Yeah, that thought was hilarious, because that's what we're always saying that about. We're like, what is Bruce doing? But you see the other side of the coin now with Barry being like, what's going to be better for them than being in the orphanage? And even Dick being like, yeah, this like really saved my life. Well, you know, I love it. I love it here, fighting crime. So, I really like that. And then it just also shows them, I guess it's kind of like, you know, in like just shows how they are kind of polar opposites in terms of how they operate with their heroism and how it ties into their everyday life. Like Bruce feels like he has to separate himself from what others would consider everyday life to be a hero, whereas Barry gains strength from family and whatever, love and just ordinary life, right? Being with ordinary people. So yeah, I like that. Very cool. Happy for them. I have nothing else. I don't remember anything else.
I mean, I agree with all that about the family stuff, and I feel like they're opposites in the sense that Bruce doesn't really know how to live a normal life, and Barry is an expert at it. So, you know, it sort of takes, besides just taking inspiration from him to raise Dick as his son, just kind of being able to let go of the whole loner thing, because you don't need to live that way to do what you do. So that was a nice little treat. And then that leads into him meeting Helena and Dick in, from another universe, and sort of seeing, like, you merely see how happy that makes him. And it's really sweet. And also, like, they're only on screen for maybe two scenes together. And I know I felt like they had known each other forever. So mm-hmm. it was a nice, like, way to showcase their relationship in such a short period of time, but also know that these people mean a lot to each other already, even though we don't really get to see the personal parts of their lives. If there's anything else you want to add, because I know, Jess, you touched on it a little bit.
That was, like, my favorite bit for him, just to see that he has the opportunity, like, there is a chance for him to have a family in whatever shape it takes. And also, I just like when Huntress is Selena Wayne, right? Or, like, when she is the daughter of Batman and Catwoman.
Yeah,
Selena.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not always
They were kind of, like, soft with him. So they were like, we know that you're from another, I know you're not actually my dad. So, because I feel like that could also be, like, a little bit jarring for him to be like, what do you mean, kids? But they kind of, like, introduced it in a way that it didn't feel like they were, that he was replacing the dad that they knew. But, you know, it was a nice way for both of them to get to know each other.
Yeah, and it's bittersweet too, in the sense that they, you know, like, she has lost her dad. So mm-hmm. it's like, you're talking to someone who has lost you is, like, weird.
It's kind of like when on in the Flash show, how, like, when Barry first meets John Wesley Shipp's Flash,
right,
who looks mm-hmm. exactly like his dad, but it's not your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Love mental gymnastics mm-hmm. to make it make sense. And then finally, we have, like, the last bit of the movie that teases Kara's Harbinger and that her world is being destroyed, but then we don't know that she's Harbinger for the whole movie until the end, but she still has, like, a role to play. And then she has a relationship with the Monitor. So things get a little bit complicated, but what do we think of that dynamic?
Go ahead, Tati.
No, I was going to say, I like the Brady shout out. Of course, then he disintegrates. That was less exciting, but first I went to just try to call him and I was like, yeah, Brady and Kara. but yeah, no, her being.
And so I wanted Sean to send in feedback, because Brainy and Kara were a thing here.
I'm trying to remember the last, because, like, when you brought up, like, Harry Shum Jr., he's been Brainiac for a while, and he and Darren Criss were in the same, I can't remember, I don't know that it was Justice Society. I feel like it had to be a different movie, but there was, like, a movie where Clark, he, like, didn't know what to do with Kara, so he was sending her somewhere to, like, some kind of, like, school where she meets other people in the Legion, including Brainy, who they didn't get along at first, and then kind of, like, they had to, like, work together. So by the end of the movie, they were, like, much closer friends, liked each other, that kind of thing, which I feel like it's probably somewhere in the Tomorrowverse. So there's a movie that I have seen of them, but Harry Shum Jr. and Darren Criss were both, like, in that movie, because I remember making that connection. Now it's gonna, like, bother me until I figure out what that movie is. But I feel like it's a connection off of that.
Interesting. So, let's see.
Because Dawn Star was in that movie too. So it is connected.
He was in a Legions of Superhero movie. Legion of Superheroes movie.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it must have been that, because there's nothing else. He hasn't played Brainy in anything else in recent years.
Is that connected to the Tomorrowverse? Is that one of the movies?
I don't.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yes. Yes, it is.
So I've seen more than one. I've seen three now. Yay!
Okay, yay!
But yeah, so I mean, I think that her being the Harbinger is, I like, cool. Like, I like that. But I don't know. I don't know, like, where it goes or what it means.
I wonder if we go, if the movie that I'm talking about, if there is like a hint or an Easter egg within that movie.
Should go back
and or watch like the monitor. Yeah,
you gotta watch the whole thing now.
You gotta go back and watch the whole movie marathon. But I feel like maybe that's where maybe the start of her being Harbinger might come in. Mm-hmm. With the monitor, like how they got connected. I also think like this monitor, there is the correct level of dubiousness in, is he really trying to help or not, or is he the one that's causing the situation? Because like at one point, like the Antimatter Wave, which is supposed to be non-sentient, realizes that the heroes are trying to stop it and speeds up. So that's weird. And I think like there's that scene where he was talking to somebody and was saying that they solved it much faster, or like, he lost the bet that he didn't think that they would be able to stop it or something like that. So all of that is kind of like suspicious.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. I think what was great about this movie is that even though, you know, we know where Crisis is headed, I was still like intrigued by the mystery of the monitor, especially, and like Kara being Harbinger, because, you know, they're still trying to find new ways to kind of keep us on our toes. So it's not just like exactly as it was in the comics, or, you know, exactly how it was in the live action. So that was really nice. I was a little bit surprised that Kara was Harbinger, even though I should have seen that coming. but I like the fact that because she's Harbinger, but she's seeing like how the antimatter wave has already affected people she cares about and loves, and how that's going to play out with the monitor in the future is really interesting, which really sets up our prediction section. So part two, what do you think we will see and what do you want to see?
What do I want to see? Well, I guess I want to see more West Allen. Wonder Woman actually doing something. I guess I'd like to see, you know, some super family, like Supergirl, Superman, etc. interaction. I don't know. What do you want to see, Jessica?
I am curious, because at the end of the movie, Barry started going off script again for me. Like, where are you going, Barry? Like, what's going on? And it felt like when he was saying, like, go back to the beginning, it looks like he went back to, like, the Hanna-Barbera, like, era of, like, He-Man. I'm like, are we getting He-Man in the next movie? Like, what's going on? Which would be interesting. I'd find that funny. So I'm curious to see if and how they expand the world further. Mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, I don't know that we'll get a lot of West Allen or any West Allen in the other two parts, just because if they focus this one on Barry, I feel like the other two have to have like a different focal point. So my two candidates are either the Bat Family or the Legion of Super Friends with Kara and Brainy.
Then I want to see Catwoman. But so, I agree that it's most likely that we're going to have some focus on Supergirl and Legion of Superheroes, because
they're dying.
Exactly.
They're dying rather rapidly.
But it can be both, because we saw Barry like hop through different universes, and we saw the crime syndicate and whatnot, like different parts of that. So we can have two stories happening at once, especially now that maybe we won't be so much universe hopping. I don't know.
But Barry would still have to hop us, right? You know?
Yeah, it's true. But maybe he could give us, like, hop between, like, the Bat, whatever the Bat family world that is, like, Helena and Dick's Earth, and then, like, the Legion of Superheroes. Primarily.
I think, like, that now that all the heroes know about the other worlds and each other, and they have a handy-dandy space station to hang out at, I wonder if we'll get more cross-universe interaction, like, between the heroes, because I think that would be really interesting. And considering how high the stakes were and how dramatic this first film was, to only know that it was part one of three, expect even, like, bigger and more anxiety-inducing crisis in the next part. That would be fun. When in the comics, did Supergirl died in Crisis?
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I wonder if they will do that. Yes.
Her and Flash died in the Crisis.
Well, Flash already died in part one. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, so maybe she dies in part two. Prediction.
That's a good one. All right. I think that wraps up our conversation on Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1. Stay tuned for our next podcast in which we will discuss something that has yet to be announced. But stay tuned and you'll receive a message from us on Patreon as to what that is. So we invite you to submit feedback. Will be
the last
like 3 episodes or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it'll be Percy Jackson Part 2. So if you have seen it or will see it, please feel free to send us your feedback to ladieswgumption@gmail.com. Send us your asks to ladieswgumption.tumblr.com, and we will promise to check our inbox. Until next time, everybody, fare thee well.
Bye.